Now a reading from the New Testament. If I would be following the lectionary today, I would have read from the Gospel of Luke, and I'm going to do that next week and go on and finish the whole sermon. So today I'm going to start at 1 Corinthians 12. This is a New Testament reading, and read through this chapter. I think it's very important. And then next week we can keep the whole gospel reading together. So our text for the sermon today is 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll start at verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, though all his parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanteth them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body, has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles. Second, prophets, third, teachers. Then workers of miracles. Also, those having gifts of healing. Those able to help others. Those with gifts of administration. Those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. Thus far, the reading from God's holy word. The word of God written for the preached word today. God wants us to know both. And through the foolishness of preaching, as the scriptures say, how he keeps our faith strong. Well, let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that Jesus is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth. We thank you, Lord, that even though the devil hates the church, he hates the family, He will do whatever he can to bring down the blessings that you've given us. We pray that as we rely upon you, that you would make home life a joy, that you would make church life a joy. We pray this today as we go to our text, that we would be able to discover these things. And we ask for your Spirit to put light upon our path and to teach us the things of God and to show us Christ. We pray that the preaching would be faithful to your word, glorifying to you, that we would see you as our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the Bible, God uses figures of speech. He uses metaphors to help us understand our relationship with Jesus. One of the pictures is that we are the flock of God, and Jesus is a good shepherd, and we're to listen to every word he says, and we're not to turn aside to the voices of others. Another picture is that Christ is a vine, and we are the branches drawing our nourishment from him, and if we would separate from that, we would lose our fruitfulness. Elsewhere, the church is a bride of Christ and must be completely loyal to him. And in our passage today, we have another metaphor. We are taught that the church is the body of Christ, and we are all members of the body. If you look at the Greek, this is the word that's used, a member of the body. Now, the Greek word, melos, is referring to a limb or a bodily organ, some part of the body. So when you join a club, you know, the Lions Club, or you're in the 4-H Club, and you're a member, you're actually using a church word, a word from the Apostle Paul that was descriptive for him as to how essential each Christian is in the church. And we start the reading out with this thought here. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, or, you know, the reference is to a shorthand to the church, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant. The word ignorant doesn't mean that you're stupid. The word ignorant simply means you don't know. Today, if I'd ask you to explain what Paul teaches about spiritual gifts, how well do you think you could do it? Because Paul said, about spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know. And he references the time when they were pagans and they were worshiping idols and they were speaking bad things about Christ. And he said, well, to do that, of course, you weren't led by the Spirit of God. But now they're saying, Jesus is Lord. Their allegiance is to Christ. When you say Jesus is Lord and you mean it, and he's the boss in your life, You can only do that, Paul said, if you have the Spirit of God, because natural man doesn't say that Jesus is Lord. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to follow his every word. Our great cause, of course, in the church is the reign of God or the kingdom of God, the idea that, you know, Christ came to be our king and he came to rule in our world and certainly over his people. And one of the blessings that he gave his church was different kinds of gifts. And so for you, if you are a Christian today, God has given you a spiritual gift, at least one. We see this in verse 7 as one place where this is referenced. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. In other words, if you're a Christian today, God has given you at least one spiritual gift. And maybe he's given you several. But for sure, one, he's left no one out. And he's given that gift not for you to hide, you know, like that bad steward in Matthew's parable, you know, that hid it in the ground. You're to use it, and you're to use it for the common good. In other words, for everyone in the church. In fact, in Matthew 25, we're told that we're going to give an account of how we've used the gift that God has given. And Paul references here in our passage over and over again, the one Spirit. He talks about the same Spirit, you know, the Spirit that enables Christians to say Jesus is Lord and to mean it. That Spirit provides the church with different kinds of service. And our Lord came to this earth to serve. Mark 10, Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve and to give my life a ransom for many. And now the church follows in his steps. And what's our purpose? Our purpose, in part, is to serve. This past week, I was at Presbytery for most of a day on Friday. When we came back, we were in a hurry, and we went through Aberdeen, and we stopped at McDonald's. And we got dinner to go. And that's how some people look at church. They think, you know, it's like pulling up and getting your Happy Meal and going home. And it's more than that. It's a place where we've come to serve. And I think of our recent covered dish dinners where we see our children serving. And it's a good practice. It's heartwarming. And they enjoy it. It gives them meaning in doing that. It may not be a comparison that, you know, is very complimentary, but I think it's helpful. Think of my experience of spending time with the dog trainer that came to town. And he taught me how to train dogs. Not that I want to do it for you, don't get me wrong. I could do my own, and it took a lot of time. But I could see it with others too. And our dogs were hunting dogs. And when we had a batch of puppies, and they had to learn what their gift was. But once they figured it out, you know, their life got a whole lot happier. Once they figured it out, they wanted to be part of it. And so with our hunting dog, when I would kennel her after she had made so many trips, she was obviously tired. But if I would start hunting without her, even being tired, she would tear apart the carrier. I wasn't going to leave her behind. She had to be part of things. And you see this with the healers and the border collies too. That, you know, once they figure it out, boy, they're going to do the work. Well, God has made us that way, that we have something to do, and we're not all the same. And so Paul talks about serving. Here's a gift list. And there's another one in Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. I think it's helpful to look at the different lists and to recognize they're just sample lists that we find in the Bible, where Paul talks about the Christian life in Romans 12. And he goes on, as he goes to say, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So we have this different list. And one of the things is teaching. I don't think everyone should be a teacher, but the people that are gifted should. The people that can do it ought to be teaching. The ones that have the gift of contributing to others, the hospitality and giving, Paul said they ought to do it. I've known people that have done this that have lots of money and have given a lot. And I know people that had very, very little and yet were so giving, so hospitable, so sharing. My grandmother was a case in point. If you gave her food, as we would do when we would visit her in southeastern South Dakota, and she got to be 101 before she passed on, but even in her 90s, she was still cooking and stuff, and she would say, well, I invited so-and-so from across the hall and shared your food with them. And if you have those kind of gifts, you ought to be doing it. You ought to be doing it generously, Paul says. Or leadership. I'm thankful for the elders who are willing to serve. In some churches, it's not the case. They have a very difficult time. In the last 20 years, the elders that have served are willing to go back on. And deacons that are serving and others. It's great when people are willing to give of their time and do this sort of thing. And Paul said in Hebrews 13, he said, obey your leaders, submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. And I think as we give time or whatever it is, as we carry about our work with our gift, if we're teachers or whatever we're called to do, and we do that, we get joy from it. And I pray for those of you who have gifts that you know are very prominent and visible, that you will have joy in sharing your gifts. It could even be the gift of showing mercy, or the gift of encouraging. There's a famous missionary with Paul, and you've heard of him. His name was Joseph. What you say? Paul and Joseph? Are you sure? Well, you don't know him by his formal name, as is mentioned in the book of Acts, but by his nickname, which was Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. You know, that was his nickname, because when he came, people were encouraged, and he helped Paul get started in ministry. Wouldn't that be a wonderful gift to have? I want it for my life, and I want to practice it in my life. And one of the reasons why I've been able to stay here as I have, especially the first decade, when I got a fair amount of criticism and guidance from unsolicited from people, I also had a number of people that were just so gifted and encouraging and kept me encouraging through whatever came my way. They were very helpful in the church. And Paul said, the Spirit, the same Spirit, provides the church with different kinds of working. And that's what the church does. The church works. And if you don't have that experience in the church, there are things to do. And we have that problem today in our country, not enough workers. And the problem in the church today is that because people want to be free of responsibility, they want to come and go as they please and not feel the burden. But Paul says that if you're a Christian, you're a member of the body. And he talks about the various body parts, the hand, the foot, the eye, the ear. And he said, we all need each other as members of the body. You think about the body of Christ. He said, we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body in verses 12 and 13. We think about that too. We remember our own baptism. We're baptized into the church. And we are given the one Spirit in our lives. And it shows the unity. We're baptized by one Spirit into one body. That's what we're talking about. We're part of the church. And the body is made up of many members. And Paul focuses on this in verse 14. Not made up one part, but of many. People have even gone and done a football analogy comparison to this passage. And, you know, what would it be if everybody's a quarterback? Or if the person who's a guard say, well, I don't have to do much. I'm just a guard here on the team. Well, there'd be no end to problems. We need to see that our part is important. And so the focus here is not on the organization, but on the organism of the body and the thought that diversity is a great blessing of God. So we got a whole bunch of gifts in the church. And somebody is going to be able to do something way better than you. But that should never be a cause of envy or rejection. In verse 15, Paul says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body. So he comes up with this, you know, thing. It would be ridiculous if the eye or the ear or the hand or the foot would start getting jealous of one another and say, well, they have a more important job than I do. There's no envy with the members of the body. The foot is not the hand, the ear is not the eye. It's a good thing. All the members could not be an eye or you wouldn't hear anything. And if all the members were an ear, you wouldn't smell anything. But God has arranged the parts of the body as he wanted them to be. So you think of the church in that way, that the church has members with gifts that need to properly function. So if you think that you're not important to this church, you're very wrong, and you're thinking in a very unbiblical ways, because you're a member of the body. And what if one part of your body was not working or showing up? That would be a problem. And this is how Paul wants us to understand our place. I had a medical doctor ask me one time about the church. He said, what's wrong with the body of Christ today? I think this passage teaches what's wrong. It's when people think they're not important, or when they compare themselves with someone whose gift seems to be more prominent. You know, I've had people say, well, I wish I could preach. Really? Do you want three preachers in your church? You know, when would you ever get to dinner? Right? You don't need that many. So we have this proportion that Paul says that God has planned for the church. And we have this outlook that every member is concerned for all the other members of the body. So much so that when one member suffers, every member suffers. Because we care about those people. When one member is honored, it's not a cause for envy. It's every member rejoices. And if you have a different reaction, that's sin in your life. But if you're reacting like you're responding like this, when one part of the church is honored, you rejoice. Well, that's a biblical connection here. But if your perspective is to be focused on yourself, you're not going to be spiritually healthy, because in a sense, it's not about you. It's about the body of Christ. And your gift is one where you're doing it for others, not yourself. And verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So you're an important member of the body. You'll make some contribution just by showing up. You might say, well, I don't know what I can do. Well, just by showing up, you're probably doing more than you think. You know, if my hand wasn't working very well, and if I went to cut it off, that'd be a bad thing. And just by having it, even if it wasn't working that well, it's still, you know, better than nothing. And so just by showing up, you're making some contribution. You're encouraging somebody in their faith. You're more important than you realize. So never lose sight of the fact that God has gifted you in some way for his purpose. And your participation is vital to the welfare of the body and also your own happiness, because that'll give real meaning to your life. When Paul gets all done with this, he asks these rhetorical questions, you know, like, are all apostles, are all teachers? And the answer is no, not everybody's that. Okay, so, you know, realize that. And realize that everyone has a gift and you're all important to the body of Christ. In verse 31, he adds this thought, but eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I'll show you the most excellent way. It's kind of a strange place to stop a reading, but I'll just mention what follows here is 1 Corinthians 13. We know it well from going to weddings and so forth. And Paul talks about the greater gifts. What are they? You probably know right off. Faith, hope, and love. And of course, what's the greatest one? Well, love, Christian love. And so these are the greatest gifts. And we definitely want to have them. We want to use those gifts, every Christian, but we all have some specific gift that we can use to be part of the church. It's God's plan that you be a responsible member of the body of Christ. And the church is a place of work and service for Christ and for one another. And the work you'll find as you do it is a joyful work and will give great meaning to your life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that we would be able to receive this teaching from the Lord's apostle, that we would make it part of our understanding as we participate in the church, and also as our children participate in the church, we ask this for them. Thank you that you not only love us, but you love our children, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.